The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, did he have a lot to say last night? Sounds like he wants out. He'll tell you why right off the top. Then, how about Julio? He also says, on the record, he wants out. We'll give you one team that could win the Super Bowl right now if they sign him. And then, is it all on the line for LeBron's Lakers tonight? What can they do to avoid the Suns setting on their season? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you starting right now on a Tuesday. Greeny in New York, jam-packed, going to get right into it and look at the crew we've got ready to dissect it for you. We got Jeff Darlington with the insight. We got Mike Tannenbaum wheeling and dealing. Teddy Bruschi just generally being awesome as we discuss Aaron Rodgers. His silence broken on his relationship with the Packers last night. Talking to our own Kenny Mayne on his final SportsCenter about his, Rodgers, most recent rift with the Green Bay Packers organization. He had a lot to say. Here's a bunch of it.
So you didn't show up in Green Bay for the voluntary workouts, but since they were voluntary, I guess you're off the hook.
Thank you, Ken. Yes, I did not show up.
How are you going to clear the table? Should I be the intermediary between you and the Packers? I'll live at the Oneida Casino, shoot dice all night. But you talk to me, I talk to them, it all works out.
I think we might need a situation like Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn in the beginning of Wedding Crashers. You know, there's throw a few miles around here and there. You get a couple miles, I get some miles. We kind of go from there.
Are you demanding a trade?
With my situation, look, it's never been about, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. He a lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, I love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing.
Boy, is there a lot to unpack there. Teddy Bruschi, I will put you on deck first. What did you take away first and foremost from what Rodgers said?
Just say it, bro. Just say it. I mean, Aaron did a great job in that interview. I mean, a lot of love to Kenny Mayne. I love seeing all that. But never once did he say he's looking forward to going back. Never once did he say that, the love for the Green Bay Packers and play with my teammates next year, all of that. If I'm a Packer fan, I'm looking at that and I'm listening to that thinking, man, how did we get here to losing one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played this game? And yes, Aaron's right. It's not about Jordan Love. Jordan Love, the person. Great kid. Love him. Aaron's probably going to be a mentor to this kid, no matter where he is. But it's the fact that you drafted the kid. So it was the action. It's not the kid, but it's the action of getting the kid in my locker room, in my meeting room. So Aaron, I mean, he's got a lot of things in motion. And these quarterbacks, they are smart people with smart teams. And he's probably got a lot of options out there unless it's already done and he knows where he's going. But I think the one thing he knows is it's not Green Bay and he won't be there next year.
All right. And so Jeff Darlington is my insider here. Let me come to you on that thought, because there are things that he has now said. While he didn't go all the way to saying he demands a trade, he has now said publicly a lot more than he had to this point.
That's right, Greeny. There's two takeaways for me here, and the first of which Aaron Rodgers will give me an eye roll that only he could give, but it's that reference that he made to the Wedding Crashers. I know he was just making a joke about that, but anybody who's seen that scene knows that they weren't in marriage counseling at that point. They were going through the full divorce. They were done. It was over. And I truly believe in Rodgers' head, it's over. He believes it's done. He is moving on. It's just a matter of how it happens. The second takeaway from this is that now that we have heard these words from Aaron Rodgers' mouth, there is no going back. And I don't think that he cares about that, but if you look in Seattle, for instance, with Russell Wilson and the offseason that he had, we never heard Russ say, I want out, or even imply it, other than the on-the-record comments from his agent to our Adam Schefter about the teams that he wanted to go to. But Russell Wilson can now come back in an opening press conference and say, oh, it was always about the Hawks. Go Hawks. It's all good. That can't happen now with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. This thing takes another step as a result of what we just heard.
And what you could not miss in that, if you're paying close attention, was Aaron expressing his emotion and admiration for practically everyone in Green Bay, with the very notable exceptions of the team president and the general manager. And with that thought in mind, Mike Tannenbaum, I come to you. If you were one of those two guys, and that is a role you know well, watching that interview, what thoughts are going through your mind?
Well, I'm really disappointed that it's come out publicly. Obviously, we've been dealing with this for several months. And I disagree slightly with Teddy. I think the mistake last year wasn't drafting Jordan Love. It wasn't communicating ahead of time with Aaron Rodgers that, hey, we may do this. You may not like it, but I want you to hear it from us. We have to protect the franchise. That's our responsibility. And candidly, Greeny, rule number one, two, and three, if you're the GM or the president of the Packers, is to make sure that Aaron Rodgers is happy, fulfilled, and that he's treated differently because he's earned that right. Clearly, they got away from that, and now they have to work tirelessly to fix it because this could be headed to a Carson Palmer situation, meaning we could be in a situation in training camp where he doesn't show up even if Green Bay doesn't want to trade him.
Go ahead, Teddy.
Can't have it both ways. You just can't have it both ways. You can't say that we're going to draft him, but all we had to do was call him up and let him know. But you call me up and let me know, then I'm just going to tell you over the phone that you know how this is going to end. I mean, that's the whole thing. This all started, in my opinion, with Jordan Love. I mean, what we all know about Aaron Rodgers is that he can hold a grudge. I mean, these quarterbacks, they got chips on their shoulders, and you're telling me that you're going to bring a guy in the first round? Even before you do it, it's like, whoa, man, you better pump the brakes on that or we're going to have problems. It just can't be that way anymore. It's not that way anymore with these players, with these power play quarterbacks. Control and legacy, two words that I've constantly said about these guys into where they are totally aware of it, and then they know that you don't want me upset in your locker room as a franchise quarterback, and I can just play it out to where I can get somewhere else.
I agree with that part of it, actually, Mike T. And let me just say this quickly. He said the monkey wrench thing again. Like that's where you really hear it. He said that to McAfee about a month ago, and he said it again last night. They set this thing in motion, and then I threw a monkey wrench into it by being so damn good. So, Mike T., one way or the other, if you are the Packers now, go back to the Carson Palmer thing, because I want to make sure the audience understands completely what we're talking about here. They have two options if he doesn't want to show up. One of them is to trade him. What's the other one?
Yeah, is to absolutely do nothing. And let's be really clear here, Greeny. This is not Dak Prescott. This is not Zeke Elliott. Those were economic issues that Dallas worked out with two star players. This is a situation where a player doesn't want to be there. He's under contract. So Green Bay will have a big inflection point. They could keep him, and he would just sit for the year. He doesn't play, doesn't get paid, but they retain his rights. Or they could say, hey, you know what? Let's cut our losses. Let's get multiple first-round picks from Team X and move on, and let's go with Jordan Love. And they're sort of going to be at that inflection point around August 1st if he doesn't show up for training camp. And that's what happened a decade ago with Carson Palmer.
So, Jeff Darlington, back to you as you talk to people.
Wait,
go ahead. Teddy, is that you? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know the type of drama. You know the type of drama you're going to have if you keep him on the roster and he's just not there within your locker room? Here, I'll give you the player perspective. The player is going to be like, what in the world are we doing? Get him out of here if he doesn't want to be here, because he obviously doesn't want to be here, and get someone in here that can help us, because I'd like to win, and I would rather not be asked about when Aaron Rodgers might walk through that door every single week, because now he's happy and now he's willing to come in here with his tail between his legs and just play ball. You don't want that type of drama in that locker room. Players, veteran players, don't want it either.
It's a good point, Mike T. How does that get handled?
Yeah, my response is, look, Your responsibility is to play and do the best you can. We have to run the franchise, and sometimes we have to make difficult yet unpopular decisions. This is an all-time great player. We need more time to work it out, and we're going to work tirelessly to see if we can fix it, talk about things like his legacy. And we made mistakes along the way. We could have communicated better, make no mistake about it. But with that said, we just can't let players leave when they want to leave, when they're under contract. He's too good, too valuable. We went to the Final Four the last 2 years, so despite taking a first-round quarterback, he was the league MVP, in part for the players we put around him. He deserves a ton of credit, and just because he's unhappy right now, we just can't let him walk out the door.
Jeff, can I
should have thought about this before you drafted the quarterback in the first round. Should have thought about this before you drafted the quarterback in the first round. And here's what you do if you're a GM. If you want to fix this, here's what you do. Publicly apologize, okay, to Aaron Rodgers, then trade Jordan Love for Julio Jones and see if he can come. Something drastic has to be done like that.
We're good. We'll have it done by tonight. I would do that in a heartbeat if I was the Packers. You own your mistakes, you learn from them, and then you fix them. And that's why I'm out to Aaron Rodgers multiple times in the offseason. To him, his agent, his sphere of influence, you apologize, you own it, and then again, you try to fix it. But make no mistake about it. They've put a good team around him, and all they were trying to do was being responsible, which is plan for the future. You can do both. I think they could have executed their plan better.
Jeff Darlington, put a ribbon on this. Go.
Mike, if they say that to Aaron Rodgers in any way, shape, or form, it just gets worse. I mean, it's over. It's done. The miles, just like he said. Like, gives them some miles, give them some miles, we move on. This is done. It's over. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, guys, that's it.
We've got so much more on this as we continue this morning. By the way, in case you missed it, I told you this was part of Kenny Mayne's last SportsCenter. If you didn't see the way he ended his interview with Aaron Rodgers, just enjoy this.
Last time we did the interview together, you told me to go heavy in the cryptocurrency game. I did. We're down 40%. Then I lost my job. Gretchen just wants a new comforter. F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
I see you, Kenny.
Listen,
mic drop.
I've been here 25 years. There isn't anybody else that could have gotten away with that, but it was awesome. I will break on that thought. We have so much to get to today. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about Julio Jones. He says he's done in Atlanta. Someone call him. He seems to answer the phone. We'll see what we can get to the bottom of that. Plus, the Lakers face a hugely important game tonight. What can they do to avoid the Suns setting on their season? We got so many answers to all the sports questions. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and let's go on the clock. A couple of things to deal with here. Mike Tannenbaum, let's start with you. Who starts more games this season in Chicago, Justin Fields or Andy Dalton? Put a 30 seconds on the clock. Mike T, go.
Justin Fields, and here's why. Even though Andy Dalton's the veteran, he knows the offense better. There's such a massive difference in talent and ability. This shouldn't take very long. Hopefully by the end of the training camp, if I'm the Bears. But early in the season, at the latest, Justin Fields can make too many plays down the field with his arm strength, with his legs. This is a really good Bear defense. Remember, it's 17 games, Greeny. Fields starts at least 10, hopefully 12 or more if on the Bears.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's a well-made point. People sometimes talk about the Bears like they were 2-14 last year. This was a playoff team a year ago. Jeff, next to you in San Francisco, who starts more games, Trey Lance or Jimmy G? 30 seconds, go.
I want to believe that Jimmy Garoppolo actually takes this competition and winds up going and really making everybody say, wow, look what Jimmy G has. But I ultimately think this will be Trey Lance. And here's why. Kyle Shanahan wants to move on. He is ready to move on. And I think that his offensive play calling will be built around Trey Lance. He's tired of placating other quarterbacks. He doesn't want to do what they do best. He wants to do what he does best. And what he does best is put someone like Trey Lance in the best position. I think Trey Lance ultimately is the starter of this team for more than 8 games.
All right, he was the third pick in the draft. Now let's go to the fifth of the quarterbacks who went in round one. Teddy, in your old team, the Patriots, who will start more games this year, Mac Jones or Cam Newton?
All right, Grinny, I'm going Mac Jones. I think Cam Newton will start the year. He'll hold on to it possibly for 4 or 5 weeks. You do not want Mac Jones going in to play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. So that's week 4. I think Cam holds it through there. I think Cam eventually does get beat up because of the 9-10 times that they want to run him and be a power quarterback. He gets beat up a little bit. His throwing accuracy suffers eventually. And around the fifth or sixth game, here comes Mac Jones for the rest of the way.
Okay, and so the threat of commonality, we are picturing all three of the rookies getting the majority of the work. Yeah. Mike Tannenbaum doesn't seem to agree there. We'll get to that in a minute. But to set it up, I want you guys to hear what Julian Edelman said. Julian Edelman, of course, Brady's longtime teammate in New England, who announced his retirement. He went on to say yesterday some stuff about the pressure he thinks Mac Jones is going to be under. Here's what he said.
This kid, it's not easy playing in New England, especially after Tom Brady, if he gets the opportunity and beats out the other guys.
Right.
You know, this ain't going to be easy. This town is tough. This town is mean. This town is blue collar. Boston people, the New England people, they want winning. They're used to that in all sports.
Right.
This kid's going to have a lot of pressure.
So that was from Michael Irvin's podcast. Again, Teddy, this is a situation you are as familiar with as literally anyone. How would you describe what you view as the pressure on Mac Jones?
Julian's right about everything he said. And during that time Julian was there, that's the way it was. But pre-Julian Edelman and when Brady first started out, you know, relating that to Mac Jones' situation was, I mean, Belichick didn't put Brady through the ringer right away. I mean, it took 7, 8, 9 years for Tom to get tired of Bill Belichick. But after the first couple years, I mean, Brady was taken care of like a young quarterback, coddled, if you will. All you have to do is make a throw here, make a throw there, not turn the ball over. It's simple. It's simple, buddy. Just do that. You're a young guy. You know, we're just trying to take care of you. Trust your defense. I think that's the way it'll be. Now, the pressure from the fans and everything, Julian's right. That's all going to come. They're going to want to see it soon. But I think there's a little bit of Bill that knows how to coddle players, especially at the quarterback position, and slowly give them bits that he can digest and understand. So Mac's used to the pressure coming from where he came from in Alabama and Nick Saban, but they'll work him well.
And Mike T, again, you've worked with Bill Belichick, you have sauna'd with him, so you have a reasonably intimate knowledge of the way he does his business as well. What are your thoughts on the pressure here on Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think Teddy's kind of contradicted himself a little bit, which is that's why I think they re-signed Cam Newton. They're a much better team this year than last year, and Cam's another year off of surgery. So I expect Cam to play a lot this year, and I don't think there's pressure on Mac Jones in year one. And I know it's not exactly apples to apples, but Tom Brady's rookie year, they kept 4 quarterbacks on the active roster. Bill Belichick deserves a ton of credit for knowing that if he put Tom Brady out on waivers to get him to the practice squad, he would have lost him. So I don't expect Mac Jones to play a lot this year. I think this team's going to be a lot better. I think Cam Newton's going to play a lot better. So there's a lot of pressure on Mac Jones long term, but not this year.
Again, they do have all those quarterbacks because they have Jarrett Stidham and they bring back Brian Hoyer. So they have all those guys. So we'll see when it is that Mac Jones gets on the field. Jeff, pick it up from there.
Yeah, I think this was a deliberate attempt by the Patriots to put the bubble wrap on Mac Jones by adding Brian Hoyer. I mean, when they add Brian Hoyer, like when they already have Jarrett Stidham and Cam Newton, it's like, what's going on here? In 2000, Tom Brady, as Tannenbaum just alluded to, started that rookie year as the 4th-string quarterback. Now, through that season, he worked his way into that backup role behind Drew Bledsoe, ultimately replacing him the following year. But this is the type of thing where, as Teddy alluded to in his experience, Bill Belichick builds you up to break you down. And I really think that that's what will happen with Mac Jones off the bat. I think he's going to build him up, make him feel comfortable, make him feel confident, and then he'll give him that dressing down like he ultimately wound up giving Tom Brady in front of everybody.
Yeah, Mike, I'm with you, Mike T, on that. In terms of, I think it's what interesting to think about is how they'll handle the transition when it is, if they go from Cam Newton to Mac Jones, because of the highly emotional creature that Cam Newton is, and now he wears it on his sleeve. So, you know, is that going to be of injury or play or both? So that's going to be a delicate process in itself.
And there's one huge difference, Mike T, which I know everybody knows, including you. But Tom Brady was the 199th pick in the draft. Mac Jones was the 15th pick in the draft. There will be different expectations, Mike T, for getting him on the field.
Yeah.
Right, but here's where I see it differently, guys. This is a team, and we're not used to saying this, they are built to win right now in terms of how they structure contracts, how aggressive they were in the offseason, who they added. They're getting back Dante Hightower from an opt-out. So I think they're in a win-now mode, and clearly in 2021, Cam Newton gives them the best chance. And I agree with Teddy's points about staying healthy and the run game, but assuming he's healthy, I expect him to play better. And their mindset right now, based on everything they did, is they're trying to close the gap in Buffalo in 2021, not in the future. That's why I think there's more of that bubble wrap approach to Mac Jones.
All right, we will see. I want to leave it there for the moment because we haven't even gotten to the story that basically broke Twitter yesterday, but we will coming up next. Julio Jones says he's done in Atlanta. One of our crew thinks his future could be linked to that of Aaron Rodgers. The question is where? We've got the answers as we continue. And then, does Jeff Darlington have the answer for Sneaky Hembo today? What is the only quarterback-receiver tandem in NFL history with more yards than Matt Ryan to Julio Jones? That's a great question. The answer is next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back, and the entire studio has been trying to come up with the answer to this question, Darlington. What is the only quarterback receiver tandem in history with more yards than Matt Ryan to Julio Jones?
This might be Hembo's best question. I'm inclined to go obvious, Montana Rice, or Young Rice, or Aikman Irvin, but he's not sneaky just because of his weird dance moves. I'm going to say Marino Clayton.
Oh, you were right that he got a little different direction. The answer is Peyton Manning to Marvin Harrison, 12,756 yards. Only 100 yards more than Matt Ryan to Julio Jones. So chalk that one up for Hembo. The question is, are Ryan and Julio done as a tandem? And the answer seems to be yes. I'm sure by now you're aware of this. Julio Jones was on FS1 yesterday. Shannon Sharp called him live on the air on Undisputed and asked him his feelings about Atlanta. And legendarily now, Julio said, quote, "I'm out of there." That, combined with any number of other things, including a fan recently spotting Julio out and about wearing Cowboys gear, not Falcons gear, obviously sets off a frenzy on social media. That actually was before Julio made the comments yesterday. So we have just unbridled insanity. And so, Teddy, when you saw and heard all of this, what was the first thought that went through your mind?
The thought that went through my mind was that this is the difference between quarterbacks and wide receivers, really. I mean, quarterbacks, they give you a love, and they'll dance around the topics and everything like that. Receivers are like, I'm out of there, man. And that's just how they are. So it's just the mentality. But, I mean, I don't know. It's sort of obvious to me, and sort of if you put the tea leaves together in terms of what kind of call Julio should take rather than someone on live TV, the call that he should take is when Aaron Rodgers calls him and says, hey, Julio, this is what I got planned, man. So why don't we meet up over in Denver or Miami or anywhere that Rodgers is thinking about going? And Rodgers is like, bring him in, form a super offense. To me, that's where Julio should be. That's the play.
That is so interesting in so many ways for so many different reasons. I hardly know where to begin. Let me start addressing all of that, Mike Tannenbaum, with you. I asked you a moment ago if you were the general manager of the Packers watching Aaron Rodgers on SportsCenter last night, what would your reaction be? Now I'm asking you to be the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, and you're watching Julio Jones get a phone call live on television and say, I'm out of there. Now what are you thinking?
Yeah, the price just went down, and here's why. It's really hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube, and what I mean by that is it's really hard to bring Julio Jones back. It's obviously been happening privately. Now it's out in public. You can't be having these conversations, and the player mentally is gone. He's left your organization. You can't bring him back, and other teams know that. So now maybe what was a second-round pick around the draft will probably likely be more like a third-round pick, because it's just simply untenable to have him come back and be a Falcon, and that's a really tough dynamic. So he has checked out. And if you're them, you're just going to try to get the best deal you possibly can on June 2nd and move on.
I understand what you're saying, and yet there is just something about hearing a third-round pick for Julio Jones that is going to take a little digestion, at least on my part. Jeff Darlington, go.
Well, I already think that we're in a situation with Julio Jones where when he says he wants out, this is a you-can't-fire-me-I-quit scenario. Like, the Falcons already, when they had this new regime come in, knew that they were going to have to move on from Julio Jones when they looked at the cap number, when they looked at just all sorts of different dynamics. So I don't think any of this is a surprise to the Falcons. I think they've been having conversations behind the scenes. Guys, we know, Tannenbaum knows as well as anybody, everybody around the league kind of knows behind the scenes that he's available. So the price already has been kind of plummeting since the perception was that he's not available. I honestly do think that we're looking at the Falcons holding out for maybe a second round pick, kind of holding on to him until the leverage gets high enough, maybe a bidding war, but we're really talking about third, second round pick at this point. I would be shocked if he gets traded for anything more, like a first round pick. To me, that's off the table at this point.
Teddy?
Yeah, guys, I think we have to look at this, too. If Julio plays his cards right and gets to a place with an offense and a quarterback where he feels like he has a chance of doing substantial in terms of, you know, championships and within his career and his legacy, I mean, you may see the best Julio Jones you've seen in terms of that sort of refreshed attitude about, man, thank goodness I'm finally out of that place where I can get to a place where I think they're doing the right things. I mean, of course, I'm sure he had those moments in Atlanta, but just the way it got to last year, I'm sure he felt like, man, I'm just looking for a good situation. But look for an explosive Julio next year, because his mind's going to be right. He can put himself with a great quarterback, and, man, he may have a career year.
You can see a lot of players, active players, including Jalen. This is where the NFL is right now. I mean, active NFL players are on Twitter, you know, trying to recruit Julio Jones to where they are. Again, he's not a free agent. He's going to have to be traded someplace. Mike T, pick up on the thought that Teddy had about the possibility of Rodgers and Julio, you know, having conversations. He can answer the phone no matter who calls, I guess. Having conversations about figuring out a way to team up someplace. What do you think, Mike T?
Absolutely. Obviously, that's been the NBA model, and Teddy brought it up earlier in the show. That's where the NFL, that's where it's evolving to. So if Aaron Rodgers hopes to be in, pick a team, Denver, Vegas, absolutely those conversations are going on where maybe they could be united in another spot. I don't think that's outside the realm of possibilities. I think There's very little chance that Julio Jones will be in Atlanta, and I think the more interesting conversation is what does Green Bay wind up doing. But if they wind up trading him, those two players being together, to me, is certainly not out of the question.
Jeff?
That's a lot of money to be spending. That's going to be a real tough thing for any GM to figure out salary cap-wise. But it brings up an interesting point. I do wonder if, like what Teddy was saying, if Julio finds a destination he's willing to go, and he says, this is where I want to go, maybe willing to lower his number a little bit, and then the other team gives more compensation to make sure that happens, that could be the one situation I could see in the back of my head where maybe everybody gets what they want, and we can move on from this thing. It's going to have to get a little creative like this for this to happen in the coming days.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so to Jeff's point, that's what we saw last year in Tampa Bay. Everybody wanted to play with Tom Brady. They all took a little bit less, including the quarterback. And the rest is history. So, yes, initially the cap would be untenable. But if Julio Jones feels like he has a chance to win a championship with Aaron Rodgers, I would see both Aaron Rodgers and Julio Jones leaving money on the table to make it work.
Teddy.
Yeah, real quick, guys. No GM is going to talk Julio Jones into taking less money, but a quarterback will. So the guy that's going to give me the ball. You know, if he's going to tell me, bro, I'm going to throw you the ball like 15 times a game. Don't worry about it, man. Just you got to give a little bit for us in terms of this cap, and we can get you here. That's the recruitment, not the social media recruitment, the tweets. It's these smart quarterbacks that are behind the scenes calling Julio. They're the smart ones, you see. It's like, hey, man, check it out. Come on over here. Take a little less. You're going to be a possible MVP with me. That's how you do it.
That is just perfect. I will leave that there for the moment. But we have much more on Rodgers and Julio and more football as we continue. But, oh, by the way, we're in the middle of the NBA playoffs. Let's run the floor through last night's action. Two games, they were both sort of blowouts. Milwaukee is now two games away from advancing to the next round. They tied a playoff record with 10 threes in the first quarter last night and really never looked back. Cruised past Miami 132-98. Giannis had 31. Bryn Forbes was just knocking down threes everywhere in the first quarter. He finished with 22 points. So they win easily. Then game two between the Nuggets and Blazers. Battle of superstars between Dame Lillard and Nikola Jokic. It was the Joker that would prevail. 128-109 was the final. Lillard led the game with 42 points, 32 in the first half. Jokic led the Nuggets with 38. Denver controlled the entire game, so that series is now tied at a game apiece. Let's look at what Vegas thinks now after last night. With their 2-0 series lead, the Bucks are huge favorites at Caesars Sportsbook, sitting at minus 1,100 to advance. Meanwhile, in the West, Blazers-Nuggets much closer. Blazers are slight favorites. They're at minus 155. The Nuggets are at plus 135. And let's bring in the big fella, Big Perk, who joins us here getting up with us on ESPN. So we got the Nets tonight. We got the Sixers tonight. We got the Bucks last night doing work, especially in that first quarter. Those are the big three in the East. Who do you like, Big Perk?
You know, everybody is on this Nets bandwagon because of the big three green. And you know, I go against the odds because I watch the game. I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks, right? We talk about the offensive firepower that the Nets have, but guess who led the league in scoring this year? The Milwaukee Bucks. They average 120 points per game. This team is electrifying. They are explosive. They have great depth. And by the way, they have defense. They have perimeter defense. They have guys that could go out there and guard. You have Jrue Holiday, P.J. Tucker, who could guard on the perimeter. Chris Middleton, offensively, he is in his bag right now. We saw Brian Forbes go off last night off the bench. They have so many weapons that people don't give this team enough credit. They're well put together, but they hang their hats now on the defensive end, Greeny. They put up 132 points, but they held the Miami Heat to 99 points last night. I mean, Jrue Holiday was hugging, and I said this before, he was hugging Jimmy Butler like a cheap suit, okay? He was hugging him.
It's a reference that I understand. All right, the other one, we get the Lakers tonight. We get the Lakers tonight. Big Perk, that's your team, that's your squad. LeBron is your guy. But let me ask you directly, is tonight their season? If they lose tonight, are they done?
I wouldn't say that they're dead birds all grass, but they are kind of in a must-win situation. Look, they cannot go down 2-0 to this Phoenix Suns team. And Anthony Davis has to put his mark on this game. And I'm talking about establish himself in the paint. Be in the paint. Don't be allergic to it. Don't settle for jumpers. Be Anthony Marshawn Davis that we saw last year in the postseason that dominated around the basket, that attacked the offensive glass, that was a lob threat at the rim. DeAndre Ayton had it his way against him. And by the way, where in the hell is Dennis Schroeder? A guy that passed up a 4-year, $85 million contract extension and said he wanted $100 million. Okay, look. There's no more All-Star games. He can't make the All-Star game. He's not going to make an All-NBA team. You know what? The time is now when it matters the most to prove himself that he's worth 100 M's. So he has to step up as well.
So who's going to win tonight, Lakers, Suns?
Oh, the Lakers win tonight. The Lakers win tonight. Green, look, we all know LeBron James in game one. He have these spill-out games. We saw it last year in the bubble, Greeny. No reason to panic. We saw Portland win the first game in the series. We saw the Rockets win the first game. And then what happened after that in both of those series? A gentleman sweep. The Lakers won 4 in a row. LeBron James is going to be ready. He had a fill-out game to see how guys were going to play him. I expect him to come out and be aggressive tonight. The Lakers are going to win in good fashion.
All right, we will see three interesting games tonight. The great one, great, big Kendrick Perkins. Thanks a million, big fella. Great to see you, as always. We'll do some more on that a little later. Jalen is on the way as well. But coming up next, again, Aaron Rodgers had a lot to say last night. Sounds like he wants out. Keyshawn Johnson makes some sense of it all. He joins us next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up. And if you're just joining us, Aaron Rodgers breaking his silence on his relationship with the Packers last night with our Kenny Mayne on his final SportsCenter. Here was a piece of Aaron Rodgers talking about his rift with the Green Bay organization.
Are you demanding a trade?
With my situation, look, it's never been about, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. He a lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. A lot of this was put in motion last year. The wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing.
That was last night, and this is Keyshawn Johnson, KJZ, Coast to Coast every morning on ESPN Radio, makes his way across the hall. I'm sure you guys are talking about it.
Long walk.
It is. It's a good 15-second walk. So I'm sure you're talking about it all morning long. What is your number one takeaway from what Aaron said last night?
I'm leaving. I don't want to be here, because he has now boxed them in a corner by saying, essentially, either me or him. You pick. You choose. Either I'm here with the team and the general manager's gone, or the general manager's here and I'm gone. Pick your poison.
Well, here's the thing. I understand that piece of it, and the Packers are run a little differently than most organizations. But if you were to put your finger on who is the most important person in the Green Bay Packers organization, isn't that Aaron Rodgers?
You know, Greeny, if you posed that question to me 8 years ago, then I'd probably say absolutely. But at 37 years old, on kind of, I wouldn't say the back end, because he probably could play well into his 40s. Mm-hmm. I can set the organization up long term for the future if I move him and get a haul, a bunch of picks, players, things of that nature. Now I'm losing the MVP at quarterback. But if I decide to cave in, what does that say to me and the organization? It means that we're caving in to Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I get it. Fans and people out there would be like, well, he's the MVP. 16 seasons, one Super Bowl victory, mm-hmm. couple NFC championship appearances. In the end, you know, if I'm the general manager, I'm selling that. I'm like, I just set us up for the future. He may go on, which I believe he will, to a Denver team, even a Raider team or a Miami team, and put them in contention to go to the Super Bowl. He may go on to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback with another team, but I at least have set us up for the future. So he's not the most important person. You're old enough to remember when Magic Johnson decided to say, hey, this coach needs to go.
Sure, Paul Westhead.
Paul Westhead out. Dr. Jerry Buss said, okay, Pat Riley, you take over. The rest was history. But Magic was 22 years old.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is 37. And I know people point to Tom Brady. Oh, Tom Brady, look at different. It's a different situation. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a team set, poised to win a Super Bowl. They bring in a guy like Tom Brady, plug him in, they go. They don't miss a beat. Aaron Rodgers has to find a team like that.
I have to let you go, but is Denver that team?
It depends on what I got to give up in return. If I give up Patrick Surtain Jr. and I give up a few picks here and there, and you could have Drew Lock back, and we may even throw in a kicker or two. But, yes, they would be right there with the Kansas City Chiefs.
If there's one thing the Stars are always willing to do, it's throw in a kicker or two. He is Keyshawn Johnson, weekday mornings, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Key.
All righty.
Okay, on we go. Oh, let's run the bases. With the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth and the Indians up a run last night, Jordan Luplo makes this spectacular diving catch to save the game. And the Indians beat the Tigers 6-5. Great extension, saves a run, and saves the game. Elsewhere, San Diego's 9-game win streak is no more. Snapped by Milwaukee by a score of 5-3. The Padres ace Blake Snell gave up all 5 runs, lasted just 3 innings. San Diego now only a half game up on the Dodgers in the National League West. That should be a great race all year long. And then despite 2 home runs by Vlad Guerrero to lead the league, he now ties the Major League lead. The Blue Jays still lost to Tampa 14-8 in 11 innings. It's Toronto's 6th straight loss and the Rays' 11th straight victory. All right, it is time for something we call Bet the Family Farm, and that brings us to Buster Olney, who was raised on a Vermont dairy farm, and we will ask him, as he looks around the big stories in baseball, whether he'd be willing to bet the family farm or not on a bunch of issues. And the first one is this. Buster, the top 3 teams in the American League East are currently separated by 1 game. If you had to bet the family farm, who's going to win it?
I would stick with my preseason pick and bet the family farm on the New York Yankees, because what we thought was the weakest part of their team has come together in the way they envisioned during the offseason. I remember talking with Aaron Boone, their manager, about how they were betting on high-ceiling pitchers like Corey Kluber, Jameson Taillon to come back from injuries. The last 35 innings, the last turn through the rotation, 0 runs allowed, just 6 walks and 36 strikeouts. Yankees incredibly dangerous right now.
Okay, staying in New York then, let's talk about Francisco Lindor, the Mets' $341 million shortstop. He's currently hitting 189. If you had to bet the family farm on him bouncing back this season, would you?
Greeny, I would bet the family farm that he will not come back and put the usual numbers on the back of his baseball card, because his hitting problems are so acute. And look, in my conversations through the years with hitters, with hitting coaches, they say when you are really struggling, it can sometimes take an entire offseason to fix problems. And he's got problems dealing with velocity, his approach, more passive than what he's been in the past. He can help them defensively. He draws some walks. He can help them with his speed. But be the same hitter? No. Just 7 extra base hits in 40 games, Greeny.
Yeah, I mean, so far from what was expected. One more. Speaking of not what was expected, the Cubs have won 7 out of 10. They're currently 2 games over 500. If you had to bet the family farm, will the Cubs be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline?
Greeny, I would bet that they're going to be at least partial sellers at the trade deadline and deal Craig Kimbrell, their closer. There's going to be a big market for him. And deal third baseman Chris Bryant, who's having the best season of his career. Those guys are free agents at year's end. They're going to want to recoup some value. I think the only way they don't sell anybody is if they seize the National League Central by the throat. I don't see it happening, given their starting pitching. So you may see both Bryant, Kimbrell move, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez. Could be a mass sell-off for the Cubs.
All right, we will see. We've got a little time before they have to make that decision. He is Robert Stanberry, only the third. Buster, thank you very much. And our Wednesday night baseball game is a good one this week. Rivalry matchup, Dodgers and Astros. Second game of a quick two-game set at Minute Maid Park. Coverage starts 7:30 Eastern. That's tomorrow night right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up, back to Aaron Rodgers. Boy, did he have a lot to say last night. We'll go live to Green Bay for the reaction to Rodgers' most recent comments. That's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.